The listening section has 42 questions. Follow along as you listen to the directions to the listening section. Directions. In this section of the test, you will hear a teacher or other school staff member talking to students. Each talk is followed by one question. Choose the best answer to each question and mark the letter of the correct answer on your answer sheet. You will hear each talk only one time. Here is an example. Listen to a teacher explaining a new volunteer opportunity at the school library.
Attention, students! We have a new volunteer program at our school library that starts next month. Volunteers will help with organizing books, assisting with library events, and reading to younger students. If you're interested, please sign up at the library desk by Friday. The volunteer program is a great way to give back to our school community and can be a valuable addition to your college applications.
What is the new volunteer opportunity mentioned by the teacher? Now read the answer choices. Correct answer C, helping at the school library. Here is another example. Listen to a teacher giving instructions for a group activity.
For our next class, we will be working in groups to research different cultures. Each group will be assigned a specific country. Your task is to prepare a presentation that includes information about the country's traditions, food, and famous landmarks. You will have 2 weeks to complete your research and prepare your presentation. On the day of the presentation, each group member should be prepared to speak. I will provide you with a list of countries and group assignments next class.
What is the assignment for the group activity? Now read the answer choices. Correct answer B, to create a presentation on a chosen country. Go on to the next page, and the test will begin with question number 1. Number 1. Listen to a brief introduction of the school's sports day by the principal.
Good morning, everyone. I'm excited to announce that our annual sports day is just around the corner. It's scheduled for next Friday, and I encourage all students to participate. We have a variety of events planned, including track and field, relay races, and a tug-of-war competition. There will also be a special performance by our school dance team at noon. Remember to wear your sports uniforms and bring plenty of water to stay hydrated. Let's make this sports day a memorable one.
What is the principal announcing? Number 2. Listen to a librarian speaking to a group of young readers at the library.
Today, we have a special event at the library. Each of you will have the opportunity to choose a book that you've never read before from the mystery section. While you're reading, make a list of the clues the author gives about the story's mystery. Afterward, we'll gather in the reading room to discuss what you've discovered and share your theories on how the mystery might be solved. Remember, the goal is to enhance your detective skills and have fun. We'll start our discussions in 2 hours.
What is the group of young readers expected to do next? Number 3. Listen to a message from a library assistant.
I'd like to let all of you know that your library membership renewal forms are due at the library counter tomorrow by the end of the working day. We sent them to your email addresses and asked you to fill in details about your reading preferences and to provide us with a valid contact number in case we have to reach you. Please take a moment to fill out the form tonight and come to the library tomorrow with the completed form. You can hand it over at the counter.
What does the library assistant remind the readers to do? Number 4. Listen to a museum guide explaining the day's schedule to a group of visitors.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the museum. Today, we have a special exhibit opening at 10 a.m. in the main gallery. All visitors are invited to attend the opening ceremony. Following the ceremony, there will be guided tours of the exhibit available every hour on the hour. Please note that the museum's cafe will be closed for lunch today, so you may want to bring your own snacks or eat before you arrive. The museum will close at its regular time, 5 p.m. We hope you have an enjoyable and educational visit.
What is the main point of the guide's announcement? Narrator number 5. Listen to a host talking to a group of volunteers.
As you've been informed, we'll have 30 international volunteers coming to our community for 2 weeks starting next week. They'll be interested in learning about our local customs and community culture. When you first encounter these volunteers, keep in mind that they might ask some unexpected questions, or they might act in ways that are different from what you're used to. Always be friendly and offer them help. Of course, you can also chat with them about life in their home countries. The goal is for everyone to learn from each other.
Why is the host talking about the visiting volunteers? Number 6. Listen to a teacher talking in an art class.
Today, I'll show you how to make beautiful paper flowers like the ones I'm showing you now. As you can see, they look very realistic and colorful. You might think it's hard to create such lovely paper flowers. But actually, all you have to do is follow a few simple steps with some colored paper and a little glue, and you'll get great results in a short time.
What does the teacher imply about the activity? Number 7. Listen to a brief announcement from the school nurse regarding health and wellness.
Hello, students. As we head into the flu season, it's important to remember some basic health and wellness tips. First, make sure to wash your hands frequently with soap and water for at least 20 seconds. Second, if you're feeling unwell, please stay home to prevent the spread of germs. We also have hand sanitizers available at the school entrances and in the cafeteria. Lastly, remember to get your flu shots, which are available at the nurse's office every Thursday. Stay healthy, everyone.
What advice does the school nurse give to the students? Number 8. Listen to a teacher talking in a handicraft class.
I've heard that some of you are having trouble working with the clay because it's been so sticky. I'm sorry that I didn't realize it would be so hard to shape this clay properly. Since we don't want your clay projects to stick to the tables, I've put plastic sheets on the tables to avoid a mess. I know this clay has been difficult to work with, so next time we'll use a different kind.
Why is the teacher apologizing? Number 9. Listen to a teacher talking to the school math club.
Well, students, it seems I have some disappointing news. For the first time in a while, we didn't win the math competition. The judges didn't like our summary report this year. They said it had too many graphs and not enough description of the problem-solving processes. So we only got half the points we could have for the competition. We need to focus more on these reports if we want to start winning competitions again. To start, we can look at last year's report as an example.
What is probably true about last year's report? Go on to the next page. Now you will hear some conversations. Each conversation is followed by three or more questions. Choose the best answer to each question and mark the letter of the correct answer on your answer sheet. You will hear each conversation only one time. Questions 10 through 13. Listen to a conversation between a librarian and a student at the library.
Good morning, Sarah. How can I help you today?
Hi, Mr. Johnson. I'm looking for some books on ancient civilizations for my history project. I need something that's not too technical, though.
All right, we have a few books that are quite accessible for students. Let's go over there.
That sounds great. I also need to find some primary sources if possible.
Of course. We have a special collection in the back that includes some original documents and photographs. They might be a bit advanced, but I can help you navigate through them.
That would be amazing. I'm really interested in the Mayan civilization, so if there's anything specific about them, that would be ideal.
The Mayans, huh? We do have a couple of books that focus on them. And I think there's a document from the early 20th century that might be of interest to you.
Now answer the questions. Number 10, what is the girl's purpose for visiting the library? Number 11, what type of resources is the girl looking for in addition to books? Number 12. What does the librarian offer to help the girl with? Number 13. What specific topic is the girl interested in? Go on to the next page. Questions 14 through 17. Listen to a conversation between two students discussing their plans for the weekend.
Hey, Sarah, do you have any plans for the weekend?
Not much, just planning to catch up on some reading for my literature class. How about you, Tom?
I was thinking about going to the new art exhibition at the museum. I heard it's really impressive. Would you like to join me?
That sounds lovely. I've been wanting to see that. But I can only go if I finish my reading by Saturday morning.
No problem. If you can't make it, I might ask my cousin. He's an art major and would probably love it.
That's a good idea. I hope I can finish my reading in time. What time does the exhibition open?
It opens at 10 a.m., but I was thinking of meeting around 9:30 a.m. to grab some breakfast first.
Breakfast sounds great. I'll let you know by Friday if I'm able to make it.
Perfect. If you can't come, I'll still go and maybe we can catch up on Monday.
Now answer the questions. Number 14. What is the main topic of the conversation? Number 15. What does Sarah need to do before she can commit to going to the exhibition? Number 16. What will Tom do if Sarah cannot make it to the exhibition? Number 17. What does Tom suggest they do before visiting the exhibition? Go on to the next page. Questions 18 through 21. Listen to a conversation between a teacher and a student.
Hi, Mrs. Thompson. I have a question about the history project we're supposed to do for extra credit.
Of course. What's on your mind?
Well, you mentioned that we could choose any historical event from the 20th century. I was thinking about doing mine on the moon landing, but I'm also really interested in the civil rights movement.
Both are excellent choices. The moon landing represents a significant scientific achievement, while the civil rights movement is a crucial social and political event. Which one are you leaning towards?
I'm not sure. I feel like the moon landing might be easier because there is a lot of visual material, but the civil rights movement is something I'm passionate about.
It's important to choose a topic that you're passionate about, but also consider the depth of your interest and the resources available to you. The moon landing will indeed have more visual aids, but the civil rights movement offers a wealth of primary sources and personal narratives that can make your project very engaging.
That's true. I have family members who were involved in the civil rights movement, so I could possibly interview them.
That would be a great addition to your project. Personal stories can bring history to life in a way that textbooks can't. Just make sure to keep your project focused and well organized.
I will. Thanks for your advice, Mrs. Thompson.
Now answer the questions. Number 18. What are the speakers mainly discussing? Number 19. What subject does the teacher most likely teach? Number 20. What is one reason the girl is considering the moon landing as a topic? Number 21. What does the girl plan to do to enrich her project on the civil rights movement? Go on to the next page. Questions 22 through 26. Listen to a conversation between two students.
Hey, Liam, are you excited about the school play tonight?
I was, but now I'm worried. I can't find my ticket that I bought last week.
Oh no! That's not good. Did you check your pockets or your bag?
Yes, I've looked everywhere. I even retraced my steps from where I usually keep it, but it's just gone.
Maybe it fell out of your bag when you were at lunch. You should check around your usual lunch spot.
I did, but I couldn't find it. I really wanted to see the play. I heard it's going to be great this year.
I'm sure it will be. You know, you could ask Miss Johnson, the drama teacher, if there's an extra ticket or if you can pay at the door.
That's a good idea. I'll do that after school. If there's no extra ticket, maybe I can still get in.
Definitely. And if you can't make it, we can always watch the recording of the play that they usually post online.
Yeah, that's true. Thanks for the suggestion. I'll go see Miss Johnson now.
Now answer the questions. Number 22. What are the speakers mainly discussing? Number 23. Why is the boy upset? Number 24. What does the girl suggest the boy do? Number 25. How does the boy feel about the school play? Number 26. What will the students probably do next? Go on to the next page. Now you will hear some talks and discussions about academic topics. Each talk or discussion is followed by three or more questions. Choose the best answer to each question and mark the letter of the correct answer on your answer sheet. You will hear each talk or discussion only one time. Questions 27 through 30. Now you will hear the origins and development of baseball.
Baseball, often referred to as America's pastime, has a rich and complex history. Its origins have long been debated. Some believe that baseball evolved from older bat and ball games played in England, like rounders or cricket. These games were brought over by European settlers and gradually adapted to local customs in the United States. Others argue that baseball developed independently, forming a distinctively American sport over time. By the early 19th century, variations of baseball were being played in many American cities, but there was no standardized set of rules. This changed in 1845 when Alexander Cartwright, a member of the Knickerbocker Baseball Club in New York, established a formal set of rules that shaped the modern version of the game. His rules introduced key elements like the diamond-shaped field, the use of bases, and a set number of innings. Cartwright's innovations were a major turning point, as they standardized the gameplay and allowed baseball to be played consistently across different regions. Baseball's growth was swift. By the 1850s, it was particularly popular in the northeastern United States. However, it wasn't until the Civil War that baseball truly became a national sport. Soldiers from various regions played baseball during their downtime, which helped spread the game to other parts of the country. This informal exchange of regional playing styles contributed to baseball's rapid development. In 1869, the Cincinnati Red Stockings became the first professional baseball team, and professional leagues soon followed. Major League Baseball, MLB, which was established in the late 19th century, remains one of the most well-known sports organizations today. Over the decades, baseball has seen changes in rules, equipment, and strategies, but its status as a beloved national sport has endured, and it continues to be an important part of American culture.
Now answer the questions. Number 27. What is the speaker mainly discussing? Number 28. What was one of the major changes Alexander Cartwright introduced in 1845? Number 29. According to the speaker, how did the Civil War influence the spread of baseball? Number 30. When was the first professional baseball team formed? Go on to the next page. Questions 31 through 34. Listen to a teacher talking in a biology class.
Bees are remarkable creatures with complex social structures and behaviors, especially honeybees. Honeybees live in colonies that can contain tens of thousands of bees, each with a specific role. The colony is organized around three main types of bees: the queen, the worker bees, and the drones. The queen's primary responsibility is reproduction, as she lays thousands of eggs over her lifetime. Worker bees, which are all female, handle the foraging for nectar and pollen, feeding the larvae, cleaning the hive, and defending it when necessary. Drones, which are the male bees, have only one main function: to mate with a queen from another hive. One of the most interesting behaviors of worker bees is how they communicate with each other through the famous waggle dance. When a worker bee finds a rich source of nectar, it returns to the hive and performs a series of specific movements to show other bees the location of the food source. This dance communicates both the direction and the distance to the flowers. The ability to share this information is crucial for the hive's survival, especially during times when food is scarce. Beyond foraging, bees play an essential role in the pollination of plants. As bees collect nectar, they transfer pollen from one flower to another, helping with the plant's reproduction. Without bees, many of the fruits, vegetables, and flowers we depend on would not thrive. Bees also have fascinating defense mechanisms. Worker bees have a barbed stinger that can only be used once, as they die shortly after stinging. However, they do this to protect the hive from threats. Interestingly, only female bees, the workers and the queen, have stingers. Male bees, or drones, are stingless and do not participate in hive defense. For bees, communication, organization, and defense are all tightly linked to their survival in nature.
Now answer the questions. Number 31. What is the speaker mainly discussing? Number 32. What is one purpose of the waggle dance? Number 33. What happens to a worker bee after it uses its stinger? Number 34. Why are male bees or drones different from worker bees? Go on to the next page. Questions 35 through 38. Listen to a teacher talking in a science class.
Global warming is a significant issue that is affecting our planet today. It refers to the gradual increase in Earth's average surface temperature due to human activities, primarily the burning of fossil fuels such as coal, oil, and natural gas. These activities release large amounts of greenhouse gases, including carbon dioxide, methane, and nitrous oxide into the atmosphere. These gases form a layer in the Earth's atmosphere, trapping heat from the sun. This process, known as the greenhouse effect, leads to a rise in global temperatures over time. The effects of global warming are already being felt across the world. One of the most visible impacts is the melting of the polar ice caps. As the ice melts, it causes sea levels to rise, which in turn threatens coastal cities and low-lying areas. Rising sea levels could displace millions of people in the coming decades, making this one of the most urgent problems we face. Moreover, the warming temperatures are affecting global weather patterns, causing more extreme weather events such as hurricanes, droughts, and heat waves. To slow down global warming, it is critical to reduce the amount of greenhouse gases being emitted into the atmosphere. This can be achieved by transitioning from fossil fuels to renewable energy sources such as wind, solar, and hydropower. These alternatives produce energy without emitting greenhouse gases, making them essential for reducing our carbon footprint. In addition, protecting and expanding forests is vital, as forests act as carbon sinks, absorbing carbon dioxide from the atmosphere and mitigating the effects of climate change. While many countries have pledged to reduce their carbon emissions, global cooperation is needed to tackle this issue effectively. Every individual also has a role to play by reducing energy consumption, using energy-efficient appliances, and supporting policies that prioritize environmental sustainability.
Now answer the questions. Number 35. What is the main cause of global warming, according to the passage? Number 36. What is one major consequence of the melting polar ice caps? Number 37. How can renewable energy sources help combat global warming? Number 38. What is one major consequence of rising global temperatures? Go on to the next page. Questions 39 through 42. Listen to a teacher talking in a history class.
The American Civil War, which lasted from 1861 to 1865, was one of the most pivotal events in United States history. It was fought between the northern states, known as the Union, and the southern states, which formed the Confederacy. The main issue that divided these two regions was slavery. By the mid-19th century, the economy of the southern states was heavily reliant on agriculture, particularly cotton, which depended on the labor of enslaved African Americans. In contrast, the northern states had become more industrialized and had largely abolished slavery by this time. As new territories were being added to the Union, fierce debates arose over whether slavery would be allowed to expand into these regions. The southern states wanted to protect and expand slavery, while many in the north sought to limit its growth. This tension reached a boiling point when Abraham Lincoln was elected president in 1860 on a platform that opposed the expansion of slavery. Although Lincoln did not initially call for the immediate abolition of slavery where it already existed, his election was seen as a direct threat to the institution of slavery in the South. As a result, several Southern states seceded from the Union shortly after his election, leading to the outbreak of the Civil War. The war was fought over many issues, but slavery remained at the heart of the conflict. In 1863, Lincoln issued the Emancipation Proclamation, which declared that all slaves in Confederate-held territories were to be freed. Although this did not immediately end slavery across the United States, it marked a significant shift in the war's purpose, turning it into a fight not only to preserve the Union, but also to end slavery. The war ended in 1865 with the surrender of the Confederate forces. Shortly afterward, the 13th Amendment to the U.S. Constitution was passed, officially abolishing slavery in the United States. The war left deep scars on the country, particularly in the South, where much of the infrastructure was destroyed, and the economy, which had relied heavily on slave labor, was left in ruins. The end of the Civil War was just the beginning of a long and difficult process of rebuilding the nation and addressing the complex issues of race, rights, and freedom that continue to resonate to this day.
Now answer the questions. Number 39. What was one of the main causes of the American Civil War? Number 40. Why did Southern states secede from the Union after Lincoln's election? Number 41. What was the significance of the Emancipation Proclamation? Number 42. What happened after the Civil War ended? Stop. This is the end of the listening section.